Tell them it is sinful to sell their own children and atrocious to violate their own daughters. Page Roman 12. Tell them that all men are brethren and that man has no right to shut out the light of knowledge from his brother. She challenged the ideology so beloved by racists that black men were inferior, contending that such inferiority was the ignorance they were forced to endure, the physical violence that lashed the manhood out of them, and the bloodhounds of the South that pursued a black man to his grave. And while alive, he was accused of being a natural-born thief, an accusation that Harriet contested. When a man's wages were systematically stolen from him, and the laws sanctioned and enforced the theft, he should not be expected to have more regard for honesty than the men who robbed him. In the same vein, she commented that abusive poor whites should realize that the same power that trampled on colored people also kept them, the whites, in poverty, ignorance, and moral degradation. Incidents was published in January 1861, a tumultuous year that focused more on the Civil War than the publication of a slave narrative. It languished until rediscovered in the early 1970s as a result of the agitation of the civil rights movement. In the interim, Harriet joined the abolitionist cause. Sponsored by the Quakers, the Society of Friends in New York, she and her daughter, now educated, traveled all over the South, including their hometown, Edenton, doing relief work for the impoverished former slaves. The English edition of Harriet's book, The Deeper Wrong, was published in London, and she traveled there again to raise funds for an orphanage and a home for the aged. She operated a school for emancipated slaves in Alexandria, the Jacobs School, where the freedmen themselves voted that its teachers should be black. "We were gratified by this," Harriet wrote in a letter to Lydia Maria Child. "These people, bred and born in slavery, had always been so accustomed to look upon the white race as their natural superiors and masters that the fact of their giving preference to colored teachers indicate that even their brief possession of freedom has begun to inspire them with respect for their race." At the age of 83, Harriet Jacobs died in Washington, D.C. Page Roman 13. When Incidents was reissued in 1973, critics and scholars debated whether a former slave had the ability to write it, and if this was fiction or a true account of the antebellum South. Jean Fagan Yellen, literary historian, resolved this debate with her six-year-long meticulous research at the State Archives in North Carolina, Smith College, and the University of Rochester. She contacted state and local historical societies, tracking down the real names of the characters and incidents and the historical accuracy of events. She uncovered a voluminous correspondence between Harriet and her abolitionist friends, Amy Post, Lydia Maria Child, and others, as well as Harriet's published articles. All of it demonstrated conclusively to scholars and critics alike that Incidents was an authentic autobiography written by Harriet Jacobs. Her narrative is now a staple in women's studies departments and in feminist literature, its heritage obvious as a legion of writers confront the problems Harriet so astutely identified, which are still problematic today. Incidents and the narratives of Frederick Douglass are both recognized as classics, eyewitness accounts of a history we all should know. The wounds inflicted upon the American psyche by chattel slavery have not yet fully healed and cannot until responsibility is accepted for the social and economic inequities that it spawned. Only then can racial strife be supplanted by peace and harmony, not only in America, but in all the nations that were involved in the transatlantic slave trade. It's incredible that Harriet Jacobs, a disadvantaged descendant of that trade, was able to detect in the South and the North practices at odds with its democratic ideals. We have all been wounded, but the truth of history itself can be a balm. To know the life story of this remarkable woman, as revealed in Incidents, is to be empowered by her. Louise Merriweather. Page 1. Preface by the author. Reader, be assured this narrative is no fiction. I am aware that some of my adventures may seem incredible, but they are, nevertheless, strictly true. I have not exaggerated the wrongs inflicted by slavery. On the contrary, my descriptions fall short of the facts. I have concealed the names of places and given persons fictitious names. I had no motive for secrecy on my own account, but I deemed it kind and considerate towards others to pursue this course. I wish I were more competent to the task I have undertaken, but I trust my readers will excuse deficiencies in consideration of circumstances. I was born and reared in slavery, and I remained in a slave state 27 years. Since I have been at the North, it has been necessary for me to work diligently for my own support and the education of my children. This has not left me much leisure to make up for the loss of early opportunities to improve myself, and it has compelled me to write these pages at irregular intervals, whenever I could snatch an hour from household duties. When I first arrived in Philadelphia, Bishop Payne advised me to publish a sketch of my life, but I told him I was altogether incompetent to such an undertaking. Though I have improved my mind somewhat since that time, I still remain of the same opinion, but I trust my motives will excuse what might otherwise seem presumptuous. I have not written my experiences in order to attract attention to myself. On the contrary, it would have been more pleasant to me to have been silent about my own history. Neither do I care to excite sympathy for my own sufferings, but I do earnestly desire to arouse the women of the North to a realizing sense of the condition of 2 millions of women at the South, still in bondage, suffering that I suffered, and most of them far worse. Page 2. I want to add my testimony to that of abler pens to convince the people of the free states that slavery really is. Only by experience can anyone realize how deep and dark and foul is that pit of abominations. May the blessing of God rest on this imperfect effort in behalf of my persecuted people. Linda Brent. Page 3. Introduction by the editor. The author of the following autobiography is personally known to me, and her conversation and manners inspire me with confidence. During the last 17 years, she has lived in the greater part of the time with a distinguished family in New York, and has so deported herself as to be highly esteemed by them. This fact is sufficient without further credentials of her character. I believe those who know her will not be disposed to doubt her veracity, though some incidents in her story are more romantic than fiction. At her request, I have revised her manuscript, but such changes as I have made have been mainly for purposes of condensation and orderly arrangement. I have not added anything to the incidents or changed the import of her very pertinent remarks. With trifling exceptions, both the ideas and the language are her own. I pruned excrescences a little, but otherwise I had no reason for changing her lively and dramatic way of telling her own story. The names of both persons and places are known to me, but for good reasons I suppress them. It will naturally excite surprise that a woman reared in slavery should be able to write so well, but circumstances will explain this. In the first place, nature endowed her with quick perceptions. Secondly, the mistress with whom she lived till she was 12 years old was a kind, considerate friend who taught her to read and spell. Thirdly, she was placed in favorable circumstances after she came to the North, having frequent intercourse with intelligent persons who felt a friendly interest in her welfare and were disposed to give her opportunities for self-improvement. I am well aware that many will accuse me of indecorum for presenting these pages to the public. For the experiences of this intelligent and much injured woman belong to a class which some call delicate subjects and others indelicate. Page 4. This peculiar phase of slavery has generally been kept veiled, but the public ought to be made acquainted with its monstrous features, and I willingly take the responsibility of presenting them with the veil withdrawn. I do this for the sake of my sisters in bondage, who are suffering wrong so foul that our ears are too delicate to listen to them. I do it with the hope of arousing conscientious and reflecting women at the North to a sense of their duty to the exertion of moral influence on the question of slavery, on all possible occasions. I do it with the hope that every man who reads this narrative will swear solemnly before God that, so far as he has power to prevent it, no fugitive from slavery shall ever be sent back to suffer in that loathsome den of corruption and cruelty. L. Maria Child. Page 5. Starting Contents. Chapter 1, Childhood, page 7. Chapter 2, The New Master and Mistress, page 13. Chapter 3, The Slave's New Year's Day, page 21. Chapter 4, The Slaves Who Dared to Feel Like a Man, page 23. Chapter 5, The Trials of Girlhood, page 35. Chapter 6, The Jealous Mistress, page 39. Chapter 7, The Lover, page 47. Chapter 8, What Slaves Are Taught to Think of the North, page 55. Chapter 9, Sketches of Neighboring Slaveholders, page 59. Chapter 10, A Perilous Passage in the Slave's Girl's Life, page 69. Chapter 11, The New Tie to Life, page 75. Chapter 12, Fear of Insurrection, page 81. Chapter 13, The Church and Slavery, page 87. Chapter 14, Another Link to Life, page 97. Chapter 15, Continued Persecutions, page 101. Chapter 16, Scenes at the Plantation, page 109. Chapter 17, The Flight, page 119. Chapter 18, Months of Peril, page 123. Chapter 19, The Children Sold, page 131. Chapter 20, New Perils, page 137. Page 6. Chapter 21, The Loophole of Retreat, page 143. Chapter 22, Christmas Festivities, page 149. Chapter 23, Still in Prison, page 153. Chapter 24, The Candidate for Congress, page 157. Chapter 25, Competition in Cunning, page 161. Chapter 26, Important Era in My Brother's Life, page 167. Chapter 27, New Destination for the Children, page 173. Chapter 28, Aunt Nancy, page 181. Chapter 29, Preparations for Escape, page 187. Chapter 30, Northward Bound, page 197. Chapter 31, Incidents in Philadelphia, page 201. Chapter 32, The Meeting of Mother and Daughter, page 207. Chapter 33, A Home Found, page 211. Chapter 34, The Old Enemy Again, page 215. Chapter 35, Prejudice Against Color, page 219. Chapter 36, The Hairbreadth Escape, page 223. Chapter 37, A Visit to England, page 229. Chapter 38, Renewed Invitations to Go South, page 233. Chapter 39, The Confession, page 237. Chapter 40, The Fugitive Slave Law, page 239. Chapter 41, Free at Last, page 245. Appendix, page 253. Epilogue, page 257.